Well, that finished off all the temple work, the temple making and all of that today. And I'm going to speak to you today out of Revelation. So before I do, I'm looking at it at a different angle to most people. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given me today. I just pray that it will be acceptable in your sight and that people will be able to see what I am bringing forth. I just ask this, that you'll just touch them in a way that will show them a way of being able to live in your way. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. The title of my message is Confidence to Enter and Enjoy the Fullness of Yeshua HaMashiach. The reading that we did from Ketuvah HaShelekim started with "and after this." And as I said last Shabbat, it's important to read what is in front of a scripture and what is behind it so that you get the scripture in context. And to make sure that it's not taken out of context. So I'm going to go back to what the "this" is and read the section starting from Revelation verse 1. And it says in Revelation verse 1, "I saw another sign in heaven, a great and wonderful one, seven angels with seven plagues that are the final ones, because with them Elohim's fury is finished. I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. Those defeating the beast, its image, and the number of its name were standing by the sea of glass, holding harps which Elohim had given them. They were singing the song of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb. Great and wonderful are the things you have done, Yehovah, I, Elohim of heaven's armies. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Yehovah, who will not fear and glorify your name? Because you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, as your righteous deeds have been revealed." After this is where we started. "I looked, and the sanctuary, that is the tent of witness in heaven, was opened. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, bright linen and had gold belts around their chests. One of the four living beings gave to the seven angels seven gold bowls, filled with the fury of Elohim, who lives forever and ever. Then the sanctuary was filled with smoke from Elohim's Shekinah, that is his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels had accomplished their purpose." So now we know why it started with the "after this." We know what came before the "after this." And I'm going to speak on that today. And again in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 23, it says, "So brothers and sisters, we have confidence to use the way to the holiest place opened up by Yeshua. He inaugurated it for us as a new and living way through the paraclete by the means of his flesh. We also have a great Kohen over Elohim's household. Therefore, let us approach the holiest place with a sincere heart, in the full assurance that comes from trusting, with our hearts sprinkled clean from a bad conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us continue holding fast to the hope we acknowledge without wavering, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy." Now, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. So many people want to make it a revelation of end time prophecy and keep looking through it for the sign of the end times, but disregard what is first and foremost about the book. Regardless of what other details are mentioned in that book, I want to take this book and apply it to ourselves as individuals. I want to apply it in regard to your personal growth and your relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach. Your personal kind of belief as a Torah observant follower of the way of Yeshua HaMashiach, so to speak. So in Revelation chapter 4, we find Yeshua is the Lamb, redeeming us with his blood after some introductory thoughts in the first three chapters. And then but by the time we get to the back of the book, there is a river of life flowing from the throne. But do we know the river of life in reality? So let us have a look. In Yochanan John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39, Yeshua says, "Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being." Now he said this about the Ruach, or the Spirit, whom those who trusted in him were to receive later. The Ruach had not yet been given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. And in Yochanan chapter 4, verse 10, Yeshua says, "Yeshua answered her, 'If you knew Elohim's gift, that is, who it is saying to you, give me a drink of water, then you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" And again in Yochanan 4:14, Yeshua says, "But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. On the contrary, the water I give him will become a spring of water inside him, welling up into eternal life." It is the Ruach Kodesh, or the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives, that Yeshua is speaking about. So from the time we are saved and between the time we are saved and the time that the Ruach HaKodesh is able to flow through our lives continually like a river of living water, there is some work for Yah to do in each and every one of our lives. This constant flow of the river of life from our lives, it's not simply just receiving the Ruach HaKodesh one day, years ago, and then sitting in religious services each week after that. It is a lively walk in which our relationship with Yehovah is kept at a level of A1. And every one of us are flowing daily in his will, in his power, and overcoming temptations and sin, and staying filled with his Ruach HaKodesh, not half filled or half empty. Rivers of the Ruach HaKodesh come from within you. It's like varying degrees of a Ruach HaKodesh experience in everyday life. Some are only ankle deep, like Yechezkel or Ezekiel. Others go further and are knee deep, and then waist deep, and finally some eventually swim in it. There are degrees to our relationship with the Ruach HaKodesh. The rivers speak of people overflowing and affecting others by it. Too many only barely get enough flowing for themselves, and then for nothing can get out to affect others. They are in too much need themselves. So we need to get from the salvation experience over to the river flowing from us experience. And this is a revelation, the revelation of Yeshua, that is going to do the trick. If you're bound at all, the truth will make you free. In one passage of our opening text, we read that no man was able to enter the holiest place until the plagues were fulfilled. In other passages, we are told to enter the holiest place by having boldness and a true heart, and that is in full assurance of who we are in Yeshua HaMashiach. In Revelation 15:8, which we started today, then the sanctuary was filled with the smoke from Elohim's Shekinah, that is, from his power, that no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels had accomplished their purpose. Messianic Jews, or Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. As I spoke last week, and I've spoken many times, we have to picture ourselves on the stake with Yeshua, that we are in him as he is in us. So by those putting those things into our system and into our thinking, we can see that we will have the boldness needed to that Yeshua had. So when we combine the two pictures of the sanctuary that's filled with Yehovah's power and the boldness we receive by knowing that we died on that stake with Yeshua HaMashiach, we combine those two pictures, then we can enter with boldness into the holiest place. It is though the holiest place in Revelation 15, with its smoke and glory, in which no man can enter until certain plagues are fulfilled, is like the holiest place Elohim wants us to enter into with boldness and assurance in the heavenlies. The holiest place, or the Mishkan, was a room in the deepest part of the temple of Yehovah in the Tanakh, where Yah's ever presence existed in a special way. As I said last week, only one man, the Kohen HaGadol, could enter into the room during that time before Yeshua HaMashiach's death, because it represented the fact that back at that time, nobody was fit to be able to fellowship with Yehovah in his presence. All of man was sinful ever since Adam sinned. But Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 6:19 tells us that we are able to enter into the holiest place because of Yeshua HaMashiach. It says in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 6:19-20, we have this hope as a sure and safe anchor for ourselves, a hope that goes right on through to what is inside the parochet, there where a forerunner has entered on our behalf, namely Yeshua, who became a Kohen Gadol forever to be compared with Melchizedek. At this point, I wish to say that Yeshua HaMashiach's work fulfilled everything we ever needed fulfilled in order to be able to fellowship with Yehovah and not to be so separated from him that we must die and be sent to hell due to not being able to be with Yah. But because of the lack of understanding of this wonderful work of Yeshua, it will leave some people feeling they cannot enter into this holiest place of fellowship with Yehovah. And that leaves them in an awkward place, because when it comes to anything to do with Yah, the Messianic community is a group of Yah's people who are purged from their sins. They are the ones who can fellowship in Yehovah's presence. They are the ones who do not, but those who do not comprehend the work of Yah in their lives may have a feeling that they are not good enough to get involved. Too many people are not involved in the Messianic community work of Yehovah in this world. When they are alone, they feel so useless before Yah that they do not even get involved with personal times with him. They don't set apart time each day for him. In Jochen and John chapter 3 verse 21, it says, dear friends, if our hearts know nothing against us, we have confidence in approaching Yehovah. People do not have confidence towards Yehovah because their hearts condemn them. We should be able to go to Yah after we are saved and enjoy being in his presence. So many do not know how to enjoy him. The closest thing to enjoying him for them is enjoying worship services or enjoying a worship song, but they do not enjoy Yehovah. If you lack confidence, you may enjoy messianic music or fellowship with like-minded believers. You can enjoy being around those people, but you will not enjoy the greatest thing of all. You will not enjoy Yehovah himself. When the issue of Yah himself comes up, you may begin to feel a sting of condemnation and back off. Your worship is stunted and weak because that deals with Yah himself. Your times at the altar or on your knees in prayer are unfulfilling. I've seen people talk and talk and talk when the issue of politics or the news or the weather come up. When it comes to the things of Yah or his word, these same people are silent. Our services and our shmooze times are filled with many things. We have singing, we have prayers, we have testimonies at times. We have teaching on Yah's word. But the most important part is the part that tells whether or not you have confidence in Yah himself. It's when no other person is relating to us through their song, their testimony or their message. It's when the only one you are now dealing with is Yehovah alone. The word has been wasted and the songs have been wasted if we do not take all that has occurred in the service to Yah and have a one-on-one time with him, especially if things spoken about are related to you and your situation. You see, this time is one place of taking the steps to go into the holiest place, into a time of a very personal relationship between each person individually and Yehovah. It was during these times back in December 1998 that Yah spoke to me very clearly about starting BGEMC. He gave me the name, the statement of purpose, the day, the time, and he also showed me the parasha readings out of the Torah that would be the basis for all the teachings. If I had not been in that place, if I had not listened, if I had not obeyed, we would not be here today, 24 years later. There are many times that Yah can speak to you. One of these times in which we become personal with Yehovah are our times of prayer at home. The amount of time you take to pray at home in the course of a day or a week determines your confidence or lack of it into entering into the holiest place. It may be something as simple as praying or giving thanks for a meal. I know how we are able to do things, especially if we are in the company of maybe at a friend's place for dinner or a restaurant, whether we are game enough to just pray aloud in those times. This confidence in Yehovah will allow us to do it. Some markers we can consider in wondering how free and comfortable we are in Yah himself are those above things. If we can barely do any of these, it's due to one of two things: lack of really believing that Yehovah is real to begin with, or lack of confidence towards Yehovah due to his condemnation within. We are supposed to grow in power over condemnation, over sin and temptations, and we should overcome troubles that come our way, and that can only come with confidence when we are in Yeshua. Confidence is something that we really need to have. You know, you can tell someone that they are free from sin and ready to enter into the holiest place, but that will not necessarily mean they will go ahead and enter. If they do not understand why they can enter in, telling someone that they can will not be seen be enough to see them do it. They must understand the why and work it out for themselves. It's just like working out a math problem for yourself. instead of just being told the answer. If you work it out for yourself, you learn the reasons why. If you're told the answer, you learn nothing. When you know the why, then you learn the how to enter in. And once you've learned the how, then you will enter in. You will have the confidence. It's like saying that truly believing you can lay hands on the sick to see them recover will cause you to actually go ahead and lay hands on the sick. You will do these things. You will have that confidence and you will see the sick healed. Adam was in the garden version of the Holy of Holies, or the holiest place of his time. He walked around in there with confidence. Why? Well, how could he walk freely around there where Yehovah's presence itself could be found? It was because he had absolutely no consciousness of sin. It was not until after he had sinned that Yehovah's approaching presence drove him to hide and cover himself. This is also the reason that Yah gave me the name Beit Gan Eden, or House of Paradise, for this congregation. It was to be a constant reminder that we were to be in a place spiritually or ruachically, that we could meet him, Yehovah, and commune with him daily as if we were in Gan Eden, as Adam and Hava were before they sinned. Back to Revelation. Revelation 15:8 again. No one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels had accomplished their purpose. The fact is that the Lamb, Yeshua, redeemed us to Yehovah by his blood way back in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. When it says, they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Elohim's persons from every tribe, language, people and nation. You made them into a kingdom of Elohim to rule, Kohanim to serve, and they will rule over the earth. The four beasts and the 20 elders declared it. The Lamb ascended into the heaven version of the holiest place and redeemed us with his blood. Yeshua said that we would have rivers of living water flowing from our bellies. Yochanan, or John, commented in Yochanan 7:39 that this was not actually available at that time yet, but because Yeshua was not yet glorified. In other words, he'd not died and resurrected to ascend into the holiest place with his blood. In Yochanan 7:38 and 39 it says, Yeshua says, whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being. Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were to receive later. The Ruach had not yet been given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. In Revelation 5, Yeshua is glorified and he does redeem us. But we do not read of a river of life flowing until the final chapter of Revelation. In Revelation 22:1, the next angel showed me the river of water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of Yehovah and of the Lamb. This is not some future thing, because we read in Revelation 22:17, the Ruach, or we read, the Ruach and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. We are told to come right now and drink of the water of life that we read of, a river of life flowing in Revelation 22:1. As I said when I began, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. It lays out the facts about Yeshua in a very symbolic way. But it is still the facts of Yeshua. I'm a facts first person. I always say, give me the facts. I want the facts. I don't want your opinion. I want the facts. And we need to know the facts for us to have confidence and enter into a full relationship with him. We need to stop pussyfooting around in our walk and bring it up to the place where it should be and enjoy all our very personal things with Yehovah. Kodesh Kodeshim was the name of the set apart place, or the holiest place, and is actually speaking about the inner court of the Mishkan and not the entire temple area, with its outer court, the holy place. This points to the holiest place only. It is speaking about the place you can enter right here on earth, for it's not a physical place at the moment, but it's a spiritual place of a relationship with Yah. You can have two people sitting here this afternoon or listening online. One is in the outer court and the other is in the set apart place. It's a matter of about how confident you are going ahead and enjoying the presence of Yah without the intimidation or the lack of confidence between you and Yah himself. Are you free to enjoy Yehovah openly? Don't put up with the lack of confidence in being able to be free in, because it is in your ruach or spirit. Forget about any excuse you used to have as to why you can't relax and enjoy Yah's presence freely and openly. If we cannot openly enjoy Yehovah here, then forget about ever being able to be used in the world by Yah in the supernatural or even in witnessing. In Revelation 15, it says, a multitude sang the song of Moshe while standing on a sea of glass mixed with fire. There are two times in the Torah where Moshe had a song. The first was in Shemot, Exodus 15, where they sang how the horses of Pharaoh were drowned in the Sea of Suf. The second was in Devarim, Deuteronomy 31, where Yehovah told Moshe to sing a certain song when it would be fulfilled that Israel would indeed walk away from him one day, as Yehovah predicted, before they even entered into Canaan. Moshe had a song at the start of their time in the wilderness when they crossed the Sea of Suf, and a song at the end of the time in the wilderness when Moshe gave his last words to Israel in Devarim. We have to notice that all the Shemot pictures in Revelation 15, a sea of mixed glass fixed with fire is making it a Red Sea in appearance, or the Sea of Suf. Then a song of Moshe. After this song, the holiest place was opened. Out walked seven angels. One of the beasts that cried, the Lamb redeemed them in chapter 4, gave the angel several vials full of plagues. Plagues are also noted in Shemot, when Yehovah hammered Egypt. And some of the plagues here were those accomplished in Egypt. It is Yehovah hammering Egypt out of each and every one of us all over again. And there exists in many way of Yehovah's people a lot of Egypt to this very day. Yehovah took them out of Egypt, but he needs to take Egypt out of the people, out of their thinking, out of how they do things. When the angel receives the vials, the holiest place fills with smoke, and nobody is able to enter into the until the plagues were fulfilled. This is very similar to some believers who cannot enter the holiest place, though the work was done to let them enter. They cannot enter because they are feeling condemned, and the reason they are feeling condemned is because they do not understand. So the vials can be seen as truths that Yah is giving to us that hammer away at the lying, incorrect Egypt thinking from our minds. He will hammer away at those lies in our minds with his word until the work is fulfilled. And then after the plagues upon Egypt are fulfilled, we can enter the holiest place and commune with Yah. Revelation 15:8 says that no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels had accomplished their purpose. And look what we read after the last plague is fulfilled in Revelation 16, 17. It says, the seventh one poured out its bowl on the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. The seventh plague said, it is done. Yeshua said, it is finished. That is what Yeshua cried out when he finished his work, when he was dying on that stake. Now that we are saved, we have to get the truths of the finished work into our minds. And when Yah has fulfilled hammering out every false concept from our mind, then we will understand the truths of Yeshua and clearly see that we can freely enter into the holiest place right now. But until those lies are removed from our thinking, we cannot enter that holiest place. What did the plagues destroy in the book of Shemot or Exodus? They destroyed elements of Egypt. Egypt is receiving plagues here. It's the Egypt of our mind in which the entire world of thinking is being dealt with. As much as Yehovah created the world and all that is in it, according to Bereshit chapter 1, he is also hammering a world that became Egypt. Egypt with the devil as the para-o of it all. That world, the one in our minds, is an incorrect one. It needs to be destroyed. Yehovah needs to align your mind, my mind, to our thinking up with the realities that concern us since we have been saved. If there is one thing we need to understand in our walk as a believer, is that we no longer need to place the only one person can get into the set apart place. We have to disregard that only one person can get into the set apart place. We need the false concept hammered out of us. We need that concept destroyed. Our world is in our minds. The truths of the finished work of Yeshua HaMashiach will remove this false world thinking from us. It will correct us. And when these truths have their way in us, then we will feel free to enter that set apart place. In Bamidbar Numbers 11, 4-6, it says, next, the mixed crowd that was with them grew greedy for an easier life, while the people of Israel, for their part, also renewed their weeping and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. It cost us nothing. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now we're withering away. We have nothing to look at but this man. The people began thinking of Egyptian food instead of food from heaven. They'd been given something better than Egyptian food. They'd been given angel food, man from heaven. But we have the Malkut Elohim, or the kingdom of Yehovah, instead of slavery in Egypt. We are blessed. But if Egypt fills our mind, then our belief is not much better than slavery. We need to be corrected in our minds. There is only one thing that is going to get the Ruach flowing out of us like rivers of living water, and that is the truth clearing out the obstruction of the river that exists in our minds in the form of false concepts and false thinking. If we think that we are not fit for the awesome things of Yehovah's kingdom, we need to know that we are fit. Let me pour out a plague to that lie in your mind. It was the plagues that conquered Egypt. One after the other, Egypt was hammered. Yah needs to instruct us just how much our old existence and our old life in the Egypt of the world was destroyed. It is the blood of Yeshua that makes us perfect. We have to get our faith built up on believing what the Word says. Not what man says, what the Word says. Whatever I'm saying here, go back and check it. All the scriptures are in the sheet. I want you to check them. That's why I get Malachi to put them in each week that I speak. You have to mix the word then with your faith. And as you know, faith's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. It is the blood of Yeshua that makes us perfect. We have to get our minds lined up so that our faith is so strong that we can go straight to the word, knowing it's the word that's the truth, and what man says doesn't matter. In other words, we have to apply this truth to ourselves. As Yeshua said to many that he healed or forgave, it is your faith has healed you. It's your faith that has set you free from that curse. He did not give credit for the healing. He did not take credit for the healing, but gave the credit to their faith. There is work to be done in getting our thinking straightened out, but the finished work of the stake teaches that everything required to supply us with all our needs has been finished with Yeshua HaMashiach on the stake. The stake finished all the work necessary to provide us with the equipment to see every need that we have met. Now, a lot of us are going through lots of things at the moment. A lot of us are being attacked, whether it's ill health, whether it's being banned from places, whether it's losing our jobs, whatever it is. These are all plagues of this common nature at the moment. We have to have faith that Yehovah will allow us to be victorious. Now, I just stepped out in faith when Malachi was in the hospital, when they were refusing to let me into the emergency room on Thursday. Malachi phoned me from in there and said, look, I'm going to be here at least another 2 hours or could be three before my tests come back. He said, I want you to go home. I wanted to be in the emergency area with him, but they wouldn't let me in. So I just went up to them, went up to the RN on the desk, and I said, I know you're not allowing me in because I'm not vaccinated, but I belong to a control group. And as you know, that this is an experimental vaccine, and every experimental scientific work needs a control group. And I've got proof of my control group. If you would like to see that, I can show it to you. So I did. With that, he says, go to that door there. And he came around and he opened the door and he took me into Malachi. And then the RN inside the emergency area said, she can't come in. He said, it's all right, it's fine. Well, she won't get upstairs. You know, they try and put a block, but Yah finds a way. Yah provides the way. And I was able to stay with him all that time that he needed, until they transferred him to Gold Coast Uni by ambulance hospital, and then I went home. But, you know, Yah finds a way. And so we have to have our confidence and our strength in Yehovah, knowing that he will provide. But he's not going to provide if we sit back and do nothing. We have to step out in faith. Now, you're in a position, you do it in confidence. I'm not a confident person, but I stood up there and I did it. It was his strength, not mine. Yeshua's work is still necessary after the stake, but not just to supply us with what we need. The finished work of the stake refers to what work was necessary to give us what we need for total victory. Once we come to the realization, we will be confident to enter into the set apart place to commune with Yah and enjoy the fullness of Yeshua HaMashiach as a joint heir with him and not just a half-brother or sister. We are joint heirs. We're not half-brothers. We're not half-sisters. We are joint. We are united with Yeshua. We are one in him. So we have to walk in that confidence. Yeshua's completed work on the stake is all that we need to be able to do that. So are there any questions? I know that was a different outlook on Revelation, but that's what I felt we needed today. Let's go to the remembrance service.